Hello and welcome to a new edition of Bonus Runde. My name is Marcus and I'll be your host. Joining me today is the spectacular Mahmoud Azra. You know him as the fantastic comic artist behind titles like Conan the Barbarian, X-Men, Batman vs. Robin, and soon his new title, Bug Wars. Is there anything I can add to that?
That's, I guess, a good summary of it, so thank you.
Is there anything that people don't know about you that I don't listed yet?
I don't know. I've been in the comic business for a while now, almost 20 years, and so that's all I'm about mostly. And I've been a professional for a long time. I've been working with Marvel and DC for a very long time, but I'm very excited to do my own thing, which we'll, I guess, talk about a little bit later.
Is there anything special that you want to talk about?
I would like to talk about my new book at some point, Bug Wars. We're very excited about it, so we could do that.
Yes, we are going to do that, definitely. You're probably wondering why it's called Bonus Runde. We have a wheel here with two colors on it, red and blue. Red means you draw a motivation card and blue means you draw a card with a philosophical question on it.
Perfect.
Are you ready for the first spin?
I guess as ready as I can be.
Please go ahead.
Let's go.
And it's blue, a philosophical question.
Okay, let's go. Philosophy. Where do you find meaning? How does this show in your life? Good question. So this is actually, I feel this is an important question because I'm an atheist. So I do find meaning in certain things. And I've never looked too deep into this, but I feel we have this one life. And it feels very special to me. And I feel we have to do the best that we can while we are here to us, to ourselves, and to all other living beings around us. And finding meaning is, I guess, very subjective thing, I would say. Because, like, you have to find your own meaning. And I find meaning in the love I share with my family and my friends. And the living beings in this world, and of course the work that I do, which gives me a really great satisfaction, and I can't get enough of it. So, I guess that's it.
Is the drawing that you do, the art that you are doing, your preferred way of expressing yourself as well?
I would say so. Yes. As far as I remember, as far back as I can remember, I've been drawing, and I've always enjoyed it, and gave me really great satisfaction and I was an introverted kid and I still am an introverted person. So it's always been a very a good outlet for me to express what I do. And comics has always been a big interest of mine because I love telling stories and humans really thrive on stories and all our lives are built on stories from the way the world works to the fictional stuff that we read. And I think comics combines that with art. So it is a very ideal way of expressing myself, I would believe.
So how did you become a comic book artist?
Grew organically, I would say. As a kid, I loved comics. I grew up reading comics and looking at them and so I started drawing stuff like that, and I found some other friends who were also had similar interests, and we, I guess, pushed each other further and started doing our own thing. We started doing fanzines because we didn't have any publishers where I lived, and so we did our own stuff. And later on, with the advent of internet, I'm talking like an old person now. I started sharing my work online, which grabbed the attention of other creators and publishers, which led to me getting work, and led to bigger work, and I came to where I am today, I guess.
Is it normally that they approach you, or is it? Does it depend on the time when it is taking place in your career?
Right. I would say it's a very subjective thing. Everybody has a different story. My story is that I've been very lucky that although really early on, I did send a couple of portfolios around, but I didn't hear anything really positive, get a job out of that. But after I developed my skills a little bit further, I was very lucky to have people reach out to me and, you know, ask, offer me jobs. And so these jobs that I did served as some sort of reference for other jobs. So if I did something, it caught the eye of other publishers and they wanted to work with me. So it led to bigger jobs over time. And I would say I was fortunate in that regard.
Can you remember the moment that drew you to fine arts? Was there a certain moment after you went, wow, now I'm going to become a comic artist?
That's the funny thing. A lot of people have specific moments, specific days, specific memories about all this. I really don't have one specific moment that I had like that. But it was a series of events that led to this, I would believe. You know, as I said, I grew up doing this, so I was I was always interested in art. If I didn't do comics, I would do some other thing, probably illustration, or, you know, I didn't want to go that route, but maybe probably more commercial art, like graphic design and things like that. But I was really fixated on doing my own thing and telling stories with my art, so it led to comics. And I don't really have a very fixed idea of when it started, but it was something that happened, and I was very almost obsessed with it, that there was nothing else that I could do. I had to do this, and that's all I'm gonna do, and things worked out for me, so I feel I'm very lucky.
What was the first success? Maybe that's put the question in another direction.
Okay, yeah, that's a good way of putting it, actually. I guess one of my big breaks, I would say, was doing Dynamo 5 with him from Image Comics with Jay Ferber. This was around 2006. It was my big break in one of the bigger publishers, which got a lot of notice from all kinds of people, from the readers to other publishers and creators, which led me to work with Marvel right after, actually during. So I guess that would be my big starting point.
What is the most important quality you need to be a great artist? What would you say?
Okay, that's a good question. I mean, my personal view is that I would boil it down to, if I had one word to say for it, it would be curiosity. And that is, I feel an artist has to be curious in the sense that they need to keep on learning and finding out about things and figuring things out and how they work, and to become better and grow over time. So I would say curiosity is the most important thing.
And how did you find your own style of drawing?
Style is, I think, that comes something that comes naturally. And I heard this way of putting it by someone before. I don't remember who, unfortunately, but they said style is the mistakes that you make in your art which become unique to you, which defines your work. So I've never really, really consciously tried something specifically with my work, but I tried to do the stuff that I liked from the influences that I had, and I guess I came to this point through time. And I feel that over time, actually, my work has had some evolution in terms of design and style. So it's a constantly changing thing, I think.
And who were your inspirations? Who were the people or things? Or where do you find your inspiration?
That's a good question again. And it's also a difficult one, because I find inspiration so many things from all kinds of life and other artists. If I would go for comic book artists, I would say John Buscema, Jim Lee, Adam Hughes, Stuart Immonen. These are some of my biggest influences, but there are so millions of others that I can count, like Arthur Adams, Mike Mignola, Bill Sienkiewicz, and so many, and I could go on forever. But inspiration doesn't come only from that. I also am inspired by sometimes statues, photography, paintings. I love, for example, Egon Schiele's work. I feel it had some influence on my work, and also the classical artists like Rembrandt or Leonardo da Vinci. I look at these and try to find something that would benefit my work in a way, you know, it's like in a selfish way. I try to understand how they think so that I can maybe apply that to my work.
Can you elaborate more on that? Because people don't really think about Schiele when they think about Mahmud Asra, right, for example. What are the inspiring things from Schiele, for example, or from Leonardo da Vinci, that you can take and put into your work?
It's actually, I would say it would be hard to define, but For example, looking at Chile's work, I really love his line drawing, and his line and very expressive style actually is I feel like an artist can be something like a sponge, you know. So you absorb stuff sometimes subconsciously. So like when I look at his work, I try to understand how he forms shapes and colors. And I also do colored work, and I'm trying to do more and more painting with my work these days. And when I look at his work, I see that when, on, for example, on a face, he would use some greens, some really, saturated greens or reds in certain areas to describe the depth in the work. And I try to apply that to my work. I guess it wouldn't look very similar, but I try to convey the idea behind that in my work. For example, with Rembrandt. Rembrandt is one of the best artists in terms of shading, lighting. And looking into his work, it's really inspirational to see how he forms shapes from out of the darkness. And so I try to think of that when I'm forming shapes on the page, especially because we work in black and white most of the time. So it has to be harsh lighting or line work, and so we have to consider how to convey all the other details, like the shading and the transitions and things like this. So again, it's not a conscious thing. Oh, I have to do like a Rembrandt on this piece or whatever, but it's stuff that I absorbed over time, I would say, that actually pours into the page, to put it in a way, fashion, I guess, you know.
Can you think of a specific panel that you drew and after drawing that you realized, wow, that is something that I used from there, or something that I used from this artist, not as a copy, but as an inspiration?
Again, that's as I said, since this is happening mostly subconsciously, I can't really point something directly to anything. But every time, for example, I'm doing a face and I put some reds when I'm painting, especially if I'm putting some colors on the nose, on the chin, or on the cheeks, my mind automatically goes to Chile's work. You know, like I put a bit of a red on the nose, or if the cheek is a bit forward, I put some slight red over there, or put some greens on the cheek so it looks a bit darker and in the shadow, or towards the back, so I try to lead the eye using this kind of thing. I think it would be more obvious if in my work, seeing the work of other comic book artists, especially lately, I would say Stuart Immonen's work has had an impact in my work. I see a lot of John Buscema's work in my pages, and especially after Conan, he's one of the biggest Conan artists ever. I see it a bit more obviously, and I think I've probably done it more consciously, I would say.
I was always wondering, you talked about your style, but are there different styles in the comic book genre somehow categorized or named, like in other genres of art? Mm-hmm. Can you tell me more about that, or or would you rather say somebody is drawing like this or that person? What is your experience with that?
I guess there's no real definitions, as you said, but people do use some ways of describing stuff. For example, if somebody's doing more cartoony work, they call it basically cartoony, or to define that it's like a animated style, maybe. And also with colors, again, like if somebody's using very strict lighting with cut shapes and stuff like that, they say it's like an anime style or a cel shading. And with the drawings, it's, as you said, mostly, I guess they prefer to refer to other artists. For example, if an artist's work looks very similar to Olivier Coipel's work, they would say it's in the same school of his style. Or if somebody's doing some line work with dark shading and stuff like that, they would go either with Mike Mignola, maybe, or maybe they would say a style that is reminiscent of Alex Toth. So I guess that's the most common way of defining stuff in comics, as far as I can recall.
Mahmoud, may I ask you to spin the wheel another time?
Let's go. All right.
And we have Blue, another philosophical question.
Let's go. Which goal do you want to pursue next? Okay. Interesting. I am doing what I want to do with comics right now, which is something that I've wanted to do for a long time. I've been in the mainstream comics for over 10 years, straight doing work for Marvel and DC and doing superheroes. And that's, I love that stuff. I grew up with that stuff, but I've been itching to do something of my own, something that people would remember me by, even if it's not something really substantial or whatever, but something that I could call my own. So that's why I moved on to creator-owned comics, and I'm working on the book that we talked about, Bug Wars, and I'm really having a great time doing that. So I'm in that position right now. But this question reminds me of the stuff that I do outside of comics, which I feel I want to do more of. For example, I want to do more photography. I got back into that a little bit, and I'm enjoying it a lot. And I want to spend more time doing that. And also painting, and painting for myself mostly, but also maybe applying more of that in my work in comics as well.
You already said it, Bug Wars.
Yeah.
Can you tell me something about the creating process of your own comic book?
Yeah, okay. That's the fun part. Yeah. So we worked with Jason Aaron, the writer of Bug Wars, before. We've done some tour stuff, and later we did a lot of Conan books. And we had a good synergy, and I always enjoyed him, his work as a writer, and we became good friends over time. And so we talked with each other, and we wanted to do something of our own, creator-owned perhaps, when we had the chance. And so the time came, and Jason told me about his project, about Bug Wars, basically. And I liked it a lot because it was like something that felt close to what we did, but with more freedom. So the way I would describe the book the best would be, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids meets Game of Thrones. So it's this kid that grows small somehow, and he finds that there are a civilization of barbarians and weird clans of bug people living in his backyard, and he has to find his way out of there and survive over there. And we are doing a lot of crazy stuff in there with no limitations in terms of what we want to do. So it's got violence, a lot of it, nudity, and all kinds of stuff that we couldn't perhaps do in some mainstream stuff. But it's not all about that, of course. It's more about doing what we want to do. And this is very inspired by Jason's background, growing up in Alabama in the US. And this is all about what I wanted to do in comics, in sense of doing something of my own, creating worlds, building stuff, designing things, everything from the ground up, and not relying on something that was built for maybe decades before. So I guess that's basically it.
What drew you especially to this idea, to this story?
I would say Jason came up with the idea, and he described it to me, and I thought about it, and we discussed it over some video calls and everything. And I really liked it. It was something actually funny, because I normally had a hard time around insects and bugs, almost close to something like a phobia. I wouldn't like to see them. I wouldn't like to touch them at all, or, you know, like inspect them, anything. But this book kind of forced me into looking into these creatures, all these animals, and understanding them better, and I grew to appreciate them. And so it was a big challenge for me, and I like that in my work. I always like to do something new and learn something from what I do, and do something that I've never done before. And probably I would say this is the most challenging thing that I've ever done but it's also one of the most gratifying, I would say.
I was wondering how hard it is to draw insects
right.
for you. Generally
it is
speaking.
Pretty tough. I think it's pretty tough because imagine like a human. We draw humans in comics a lot, and basically we know how we look. We draw humans all the time. So basically it's a body, a head, two arms, two legs. That's it. But when it's an insect, we don't know them as well. And there are so millions of kinds of insects, and even an ant, you know, like they have six legs. They have three body parts with like the mouth parts, the antenna and everything. So you have to learn all about these. You have to make study these in through references and everything and understand how they move, how they work. So on its own, that's the challenge. But then you have to do like there are scenes in the book where there are insect armies fighting other insect armies with small people on them, you know, like all designed from this ground up. So it's a lot of work. And, you know, trying to figure out where to put all the legs and everything on a page, it's challenging and time-consuming.
How would you say, how important is it for you to explore the history of comics in your work mm-hmm. or for your work?
I think I'm a bit lacking in that regard. I always appreciated the background of comics, but I've never been diving into that in a scholarly way, I would say. I try to understand it, how, where things come from, and, you know, who came before who and how everybody was influenced from each other, because that's how art is. Art is like artists stand on the shoulders of the artists that came before them. So I try to understand that, and I try to understand why things are done. And over time, I found out certain things about this, like how certain things originated or where or when, approximately at least. You know, so I do have an interest in this, but I've never delved too deep, I would say.
A few moments ago, you told me that you're interested in photography. How does photography help you with your art, or how does the art or your view on the art shape your ability to take good photos?
Mm. I think they're connected. That's a good question, because it's all about making images, and I think a good photo is all about documenting something in a way that maybe has a story in it, you know. So like I like photographs that are telling some kind of story, even if it's just a portrait. You don't want to look like at a robot, you know, like you want to see a face. You want to understand what's behind the eyes, what they're thinking, what happened before this photo, maybe after, what's going to happen. So like I'm talking as if like I'm a pro photographer or something. I'm totally not. But the thing is like I think these things both interact with each other, like comics and photography, and making compositions, trying to find the ideal image through a lens or through the paper and in a panel of a comic. They're very connected, and I guess both influence each other.
You talked about your work, but is it easy for you to constantly motivate yourself as well?
I think so. Yeah, I've been lucky that I've never really had much motivational problems. Like I can find motivation, and maybe that is what's called professionalism in our work, because we're working on a deadline all the time, and we have the industry is built on like a chain of people working with each other. Like the writer writes something, passes on to they talk it over with the editor, passes on to the artist, then the artist passes on to the colorist, then it goes to lettering and everything. So everything is connected. So you have to be on time. You have to work with other people. So like this requires professionalism. So like all of this doesn't care about your motivation. So you have to find that in you, and you have to push yourself to do it. And I feel it's a struggle sometimes, because artists are in a way pouring their heart out onto the paper, you know, or photography, or, you know, like onto the shapes of a sculpture or music or anything. So you give something of yourself into that, and it means a lot to you. And that can be exhausting, even if it's the most commercial thing. If it involves some sort of creative endeavor, you care about it. And so that sometimes can be draining. So like there, I do have this happen to me quite often. And there are certain times that I feel very almost depressed because of the way how I want my work to go, or I want to, if I'm feeling that I'm not improving enough or something. But that's, I try to remind myself that this will pass and I have to do this right now. So just trust the process, keep going, do what you have to do, and then you will do better next time.
You talked about the challenges now, but what are the best things about your job?
The best things, initially, of course, again, going back to just what I said, putting something from inside of you onto the page and, you know, like getting it out into the world. That's the initial satisfaction, you know, like to let that go, or to let that, you know, like happen in some way. Of course, the next step is, of course, sharing to other people. And if it's liked, it's one of the best things in the world, I would say. I don't do this to get the appreciation of people, but of course, it's a big perk, you know, when people tell you that they enjoy what you do and they care about it. And sometimes they come to you with saying that it affects them in some way that is profound. And that is really, really gratifying and brings me joy, you know, when some kids find some interest in my work, when people say it's one of the things that gave them inspiration, or some people are inspired by your work and they get into art because of you, or even sometimes just the way you are because they know you, they know your work, and then they are inspired by how you present it or something, and it affects them in their life. And this can also be daunting, but it's also gratifying in the sense that you maybe put something good in the world, you know.
Now we all want to know, how do we get a drawing from you, or a sketch, or a painting? What's the easiest way?
The easiest way is, like, I try to attend conventions, and like I do a couple ones in Vienna as well. And whenever I'm there, I do commissions, I do sketches. So they can visit me at a convention if they like. And, you know, like we can discuss further over there. So that's basically what I do.
So what are your experiences at Comic-Cons? You just attended New York Comic-Con, one of the biggest ones in the whole wide world. Mm-hmm. And you are also attending ones in Vienna. How are the differences?
There are so many different conventions. Yeah, New York is a beast. It's a monster. It's like I've been doing that for a very long time, since 2007, almost every year. As you said, it's one of the biggest ones. So it's hard to compare to other stuff. It's so crowded, so much going on, so much noise and everything. But it's also great that it's so big, that there are so many of your artists' friends that maybe you can't see at all throughout a year. They come from all over the world, from Europe, from Africa, from, you know, the Far East. Of course, the U.S. artists are also there. So you meet all these people, you come together and you spend time with them. So it's a great experience. But it's also very businesslike, because it's a big investment doing a big show like that. You know, you spend a lot of money, so you have to make money in return. So you have to consider that maybe you're promoting a new book, or you're selling original art, or doing other things to make it worth your trip over there. But of course, again, it's one of the best places to meet the fans as well, because again, all over the world, people come there to see their favorite artists, to talk to them, to get stuff from them. So that's great in that sense as well. Vienna has a couple of nice shows. Vienna Comic Con is also part of Reed Exhibitions, I believe, which is also the New York. I try to describe it as like a very smallish New York Comic Con in a way, because it has the same feeling, but it's of course at a much smaller scale. But it's got the similar events, like celebrities being there, you know, comic book artists, there, cosplayers and everything. So it is nice. But of course, wherever you are in the world, that also affects things, because the culture is different. American culture is a bit more, which is not, I guess, a surprise, but a bit more capitalistic. So people are interested in making money and spending money. So I guess American conventions are revolving mostly around that. European culture is a bit more different, especially because of the French Franco-Belgian comic book scene and all the other cultures in Italy, Spain, and other places. People are more interested in maybe a bit more of the culture and getting together and trying to meet the creators and authors. And so it's not more about the money, but it's more about experiencing something together with the creators and the publishers, and perhaps have a nice experience overall from all of those.
Do the requests that you get at the different conventions mm-hmm. differ? What are the requests that people come up with?
My personal experience is that I don't really get too many different requests, because I guess people know me from what I do. So, for example, I did Supergirl for a while. So back then, wherever I went, almost everything that was requested from me was Supergirl. So later I did Conan, so that got popular. So a lot of people knew me from that, and they wanted some Conan sketches or art from me. And so that's revolving around that. But I would say, of course, economically, different countries vary in different terms. So like the culture is different. So when you go to a certain place, they can request a different kind of sketch. Sometimes Americans prefer to spend more money, I would say. So they prefer maybe more detailed, more elaborate commissions. In Europe, people want to meet you, and they just want to have the memory maybe most of the time. So you might get a bit more personal requests or experiences in that sense.
Mahmoud, may I ask you to spin the wheel a last time?
With pleasure.
And we have read a motivational quote.
Let's go. Okay. There are far better things ahead than any we leave behind. Okay. I like this thought. Okay. Two things. I'm a stupid optimist person. to the point of stupidity. So like I agree with this. Like I always say, things always can get better. Always will get better, even if it's like shit at the moment. Things will improve. Things can get better, and even if you're going to some real hard times, things can always improve. And I'm a person that I get happy when I wake up, because I'm still here. I'm alive. I just woke up to another day. So in that regard, I feel I like this. However, on the other side, of course, time being more realistic, you know, time goes by, and you know, like especially when you're getting a bit older, you start to worry about certain things. So like, then you question this a bit more. But personally, I don't really worry about this. I don't want to look back too much. I look always forward and always trying to do better out of the situation that we have.
Are you using motivational quotes as well? Are you directing them at other people?
No,
to
not
motivate
at all.
Them?
Not really, no. I don't, personally, I don't really... I appreciate it, and if it works for someone, that is, then it's amazing. But it's not something that, for me, I would say, because I try to find motivation in what I do and what I'm, what I find meaning in, you know.
There's often a prejudice against comics as being a childish medium. Would you agree with that, or what would you say to counter this perception?
That's been a constant problem all over the world, I would say. I mean, this varies from country to country, I guess. But I guess it's the origin is like because probably the older comics were more geared towards children and younger audiences. The perception couldn't be overcome over time so much. So older people always have this worry about, you know, like comics being for children and everything. And I guess also this kind of relates to drawing in a way, because like we all draw as children, so we all do this. And but at certain point somebody stops, and so they don't go on. I was one of the ones that didn't stop, so maybe that's the difference with what I did. But so in this regard, people think that maybe drawing is something that should be left behind as a children's thing, so it's not something that you should continue doing, especially in the way that we do comics, because they don't find it maybe serious or something. But of course, I think over time we're slowly breaking this, especially, of course, with the mainstream success that we're seeing with the movies and everything, like the Marvel movies and everything. All kinds of people are interested in this. So I've personally seen the difference. You know, like I when I was much younger or starting out, I would see people scoff at this or make, you know, like light of it. They wouldn't take serious, even academically. You know, like I would go to a workshop or something, and the head of this school, they would say, it's okay, don't worry, you'll do something else, while they had me at the school for doing comics, for talking about comics. So it can be really funny. But I've seen that this perception has been changing. And now when I talk to people randomly, for example, they ask what I do. And when they hear that I'm doing comics, they're really impressed. And I see there's more respect in that sense. So it's something that's changing, I feel.
Do you need to retain a childlike quality to do your work?
I would say yes. And I'm very much like that myself, you know, like to a fault. Maybe I could be very immature in certain things, but I am a firm believer in something that people should. It's something that people should grab onto and hold onto, you know, because it's. I love children because they are always curious and they are always wanting to learn, and there's not much wrong, right or wrong, or social. Worries about social acceptances and stuff like that. And that's something we should maybe keep on doing as, for artists or creative people, or as an audience, anybody should keep this, because, I mean, I don't know, my perspective can be biased, of course, from what I do, but it's part of life that it makes us enjoy things more through being more open to different stuff. And it goes back to this beginning of our conversation where I said curiosity. So children have this curiosity. We should keep this curiosity, you know, like in finding out things and finding out how things work and, you know, how we can get enjoyment out of things, I guess.
We are nearly at the end of our episode, and I have two more questions for you.
Of course.
The first one is, when was the last time someone had a prejudice about you, and was it resolved?
Okay. Yeah, I was fortunate that I didn't have any big problems with anybody like doing about what I do or something. Most of the people have been respectful. But as I just said a little bit before, that was a funny experience. I was at this university. I was invited to be a speaker and hold a workshop on comics. And the department leader, I was introduced to her, and she was told that I do comics, that I studied in that school, and then, but I was doing comics right now. And she was like, "Oh, no matter, don't worry about it." It was like I could sense the condescending, you know, voice over there, and a bit of, you know, like this man. I would say they weren't too taking it seriously, I would say. So. That kind of, I found it funny. I never took it seriously and it didn't affect me anything at all. But I found it a bit disappointing to see that somebody in that position would think this way.
And the last question is, if you could take one music album to a deserted island, mm-hmm. which one would it be?
Oh, this might be the toughest one. I love
everything
listening
else was easy now.
Yeah. Okay, I'm a big music listener, so I love music. I constantly listen to stuff. If you ask me like 5 minutes from now, I would say probably something different, or maybe like 5 minutes before, I would have said something else. But right now, I can't decide. Either it would be Queen, A Night at the Opera, or maybe Mastodon, Crack the Sky. Very different.
Dear Mahmoud, thank you very much for attending.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure talking to you.
We'll catch you in the next edition of Bonusrunde. Until next time, bye.
Thank you for having me. Bye.